also Vietnam is where I'll be starting off. And so if you have any interest in learning more about that, you can look at that brochure. As we read the Bible, we come to understand that God is on a mission, beginning with creation and then with God's working with Abraham and with Moses and the children of Israel and the prophets, and certainly culminating in the coming of Jesus. God is on a mission. And God's mission is that every single person will be transformed and be made whole through Jesus. Now, this thing isn't working, so if somebody will help me out here. There we go. Okay, so God wants to transform every single one of us through Jesus and the salvation that he brings. You know, that we'll be a part of his kingdom, that we will serve him in all the various ways and the gifts that he has given us. We'll serve him in his kingdom. And eventually, on the final day, we'll be raised up to new life when Jesus comes to rule this world in righteousness and peace. And as God's people on earth, as you know, we are God's representatives. And so this mission is to be our mission, right? We represent the Lord to the people that are around us. It is to be a priority in our lives. And I also want to say that this mission is for all God's people, not just for some people with certain gifts. And so what I'm sharing today are really things that we can all do to be a part of God's mission, even if you're not gifted as an evangelist or you don't see yourself as someone who's a minister or a pastor or a missionary. These are things that we can all do. In my title this morning, I'm using the word disciplines for joining in God's mission, and that's because it takes work to do God's mission. It takes work. It takes effort. It doesn't just happen by itself. So if you'd like to, turn with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. We'll just get started off here. Touch on a couple of themes, and then we'll come back to it at the end. But here in this passage, 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9, Paul is talking about how he and Apollos are both working together on the same team to fulfill God's mission to this world. And I just want you to notice the language that's used here. Paul speaks of planting and watering, comparing his ministry work to the work of farming. And from what I understand, farming is hard work, right? So planting and watering. And he says in verse 6, I planted and Apollos watered. And he continues on in that same vein in verses 7 and 8. And then in verse 9, he says of himself and Apollos that they are God's fellow workers. So being a part of God's mission is real labor, and it can be hard work and toil as we seek to represent our Lord in this world. So what I'm sharing with you are seven disciplines this morning, just very briefly on each one. Seven disciplines for joining in God's mission. These are practices that we have to work at for sure, but that put us in a place where God can use us to do his work in this world. So here we go. Are you ready? First discipline is let your life be a witness to others. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 14 and verse 16, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that you may see that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So, you know, who wants to hear someone go on and on and on about a topic where you know full well that they aren't putting that stuff into practice in their own life? They have lots of opinions, right? But it doesn't show evidence or fruit in their own lives. And so the way we live our lives is really foundational to any witness that we have for Jesus in this world. Now, no Christian is perfect for sure, but we need to be about the business of living the Christian life if we're going to join in God's mission. And then when we're not perfect, when we fail, we can be an example as well of how to repent, how to turn away, how to seek forgiveness, and how to get back on our feet once again. Our lives are our most basic witness to what we believe about God and what he is doing in this world through his Son, our Lord Jesus. So let your life be a light to this. Be disciplined in your walk with God. A second discipline, build relationships with the lost. Jesus, as you know, ate with tax collectors and sinners. He engaged with those who needed God's grace and God's love around him. He left the 99 in order to find the one that was straying and that was lost. And as he said in Matthew 9:12, those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick. And so we must also engage with those around us who need God's grace and God's love. And I know that it can be so tempting to just hang out with everybody we already know and to hang out with people that are like us and similar to us in lots of different ways. That's really easy and comfortable to do. But God calls us to be stretched and to reach out and to engage with whoever he brings into our paths so that we might be involved in their lives as representatives for Jesus. But I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, this takes time to invest in people's lives, and it means making room for them in your life, you know, beyond what you've already got scheduled, and everybody's overscheduled and overbooked and so busy today. You know, beyond our family and our current network of friends and the people that we know and acquaintances, it means making room for others and giving them time and investing in their lives. And as I said, everyone is so busy these days. I think this might be the most significant challenge of all in terms of engaging in God's mission, is finding space and time to invest in other people's life. And what I want to say to you is that if we don't have time to invest in other people, then it's probably time for us to reevaluate the hectic pace of our lives and the way that we overschedule ourselves. A third discipline this morning, regularly ask God to give you compassion for the lost. So this is from Matthew 9:36, and I want you to help me read this. So let's all read this together. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. We need Jesus' compassion deep in our hearts if we're going to reach out to the lost. This should be our true motivation, you know, not just to like get more people in the pews or to raise the attendance numbers for our church, which is good. But the point is that we love those we are reaching out to, even if they end up in somebody else's church, that we love and serve those that we're reaching out to. And we also need Jesus' compassion in our lives because we easily fall into self-righteousness. It's true for me. I'm guessing you're like me. You're human. You know, there are some sins that just really set us off, that we were particularly judgmental about, and that so because of that, we keep these people at a distance from us, yet those are the very people that God wants us to be reaching out to. Jesus has had compassion on each one of us, and that's the only reason we're a part of his kingdom right now. We have all failed God miserably in different ways, and yet Jesus has welcomed us so mercifully into his kingdom. And so we must give grace to all. And I can just testify to you in my years of pastoring. I've been a pastor for about 26 years now. I've always been amazed and surprised at the people that God brings across my path. You know, you think, well, okay, I'm going to minister to people who are like me that I can relate to. And it's just like always the opposite of that. God's always bringing people into my life that I have no idea where they're coming from or what their life experiences are or how to relate to them. And it's like God wants me to like really rely on him as I do this. And I think God does this for all of us. And so we have to be open. We have to be open. Jesus' compassion will stretch us because he wants to work through us to touch people in all their different areas of brokenness, to bring healing and transformation. A fourth discipline is to regularly pray for someone who is lost. Pray for God's will, who Paul tells us, it says in 1 Timothy 2:4, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So ask God to bring about God's will. That's what prayer is all about, right? Bringing about God's will. You've got this up here, the second petition of the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, that's what prayer is bringing God's will in heaven to bear here on earth through our prayers. And so ask God to put someone or several people on your heart to be regularly praying for, that they might come to know the Lord. And so I just ask you this morning, maybe people are already popping into your minds, you know, who might God be putting on your heart to start praying for, if you don't already, to pray for regularly, that they might come to know the Lord, perhaps even to pray for them every single day. Regularly pray for someone who is lost. A fifth discipline is be alert for opportunities to share. Paul says this in Colossians 4. He says, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you have the right response for everyone. I love these verses, you know, just being aware of the opportunities that God can bring across our path. We need to recognize and understand, you know, we always think about how God is working in our lives as Christians. God is working in everyone's life who walks on this earth, and God is doing things and providentially overseeing and orchestrating things and bringing people into their, you know, unbelievers' lives to work through them and touch them and to give a message for him to those people. And so I believe that God has strategically placed every single one of you in this room in different places and in different networks of relationships so that God can use you in those relationships, whether it's your family, whether it's work or school or whatever your context might be. And so we need to open up our eyes to what's going on around us. Instead of sleepwalking through our week, we need to be thinking every day, Lord, how do you want to use me? You know, what person are you going to bring across my path today that I can say something to, that I can be of service to, that I can express your love to in my life? And we need to be in tune with what God is doing and hear the Spirit of God so that when the Spirit nudges us, we can move forward into that opportunity with boldness and courage, knowing that God has set this all up and God's going to use us as a part of the bigger plan that God has for that particular person to come to know him. And so we need to have our eyes opened. So I just challenge you this week. This is a prayer that God loves to answer. Ask God to bring someone across your path this week that you can share about with the Lord. Ask someone to do that, and then keep your eyes open, keep your heart sensitive to the Spirit. And when the door opens and it's right before you, be bold to walk through that door and to share something on behalf of Jesus. A sixth discipline is invite people to be a part of the kingdom. I'm going to have you help me again here from Luke 14:23. This is Jesus speaking. Let's all read it together. It says, go out to the highways and hedges and urge people to come in, that my house may be filled. Now, being involved in God's mission is not just about, you know, getting people in these four walls. We just talked about how God is working outside these four walls all the time in people's lives in various ways. God is always engaging people. But it's also true, you know, that God wants every single person to be connected to a local church, because that's where we can connect with God, other believers, and can grow in our faith. And what I want to communicate to you this morning is that the vast majority of people who come to a local congregation come because a church member has invited them to come. The vast majority of people who are new to a church, that walk through those doors for the first time, do not do so because of the pastor, do not do so because of a program that's going on here, some special event that you're holding. People come because someone just like you, a regular member of a congregation, takes the risk to ask them to come, would you like to worship with us? This is the engine of growth in terms of bringing new people into congregations. Who can you ask, even this week, to come and be a part of your worship services here? And then a final discipline is to welcome with love all who come. Hebrews 13:2 says, don't forget to welcome outsiders. By doing that, some people have welcomed angels without knowing it. To be hospitable means to be warm and friendly, to make room for someone, to include someone. Again, it's like not just hanging out with your friends and everybody you know, it's going out of your way to make sure others are included. Now, according to the experts, and I don't know how they figured this out, but they're the experts, right, so they know. According to the experts, a person has decided whether they're going to come back to a church after 11 minutes, after they get out of their car, right? So that's sometimes even before the church service starts. And it's well before the pastor's sermon, so it's not the pastor's fault, right? Yes. So, you know, it's really about how do we welcome people who come through those doors and make them really feel, you know, like they're loved, they're appreciated, and getting them connected with other people in the congregation. We need to be a warm and welcoming people. And again, it's just so easy to just hang out and, you know, how was your week? You know, you see your best friends at church. How was your week? And it's just like really comfortable. It takes work to do God's mission, so you have to come out of your comfort levels to make sure that people are welcome. So as we look at where we've been here this morning, these seven disciplines, I just encourage you to be thinking, or maybe you already know, which one or which two maybe has God maybe nudged you on, kind of highlighted for you? Let's work on this, you know, in the next few months. Let's work on this one. I know it's a lot of information, but maybe you can boil it down to one or two of these, that will be something that God can use, I believe. So, you know, again, this is work, and that's why I'm using these language of discipline, the language of disciplines. These are things that we do that are good that don't necessarily naturally come to us, right? We're not all called to be evangelists. Some people, this stuff, they wake up and it's just so natural to them and they do it without even thinking about it. But for most of us, that's not the case. And so disciplines are things that don't come naturally to us. So for instance, you know, I'm a teacher, and so if you want to be a good student, you need to have certain disciplines, for instance, attending class, you know, doing homework, you know, doing the various assignments, you know. It may not be fun, it may not be something that comes naturally to you, but if you want to do well, those are disciplines that you need to be putting into practice. And we have whatever your area of work is, there are disciplines connected to that, right, that can make you successful in your areas of work. And with all of these disciplines in life, the point is that after a while, they become second nature to us. They kind of work themselves into our systems. They just become a part of who we are. So, for instance, we just, after working at it hard, you know, for 6 months, you know, we just naturally become more compassionate toward the lost, because we've been praying for 6 months that God would change our hearts and give us compassion for the lost. That leaves a lasting impact on us. Or maybe you develop the discipline of praying for a certain amount of people every single day that they might come to know the Lord. Well, after 6 or 7 or 8 months, that's just going to be a part of your life. When you wake up or whenever you pray, you're going to be thinking about who can I pray for that they might come to know the Lord. Let me just end this morning by highlighting one other theme that's important for us, which is this. It is God who gives life in all of this. So this is where we're coming back to 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9, which is where we started here this morning, because it makes this point that even with all of our work, even doing all these disciplines and other things that we could think of and talk about here this morning, in the end, it is God who counts. Because God is the one who gives the growth, the life. So 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 says this, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. God is the key. Nothing we do apart from God will have any lasting impact, at least of an eternal value. But God does ask us to do his part because he has chosen for some reason to work through us, to accomplish his mission in this world. So I just want to encourage you this morning. Let's join in God's mission and work hard at it as believers in our different contexts. And let's pray that God will move among us to accomplish his mission in this place. Let me just say a prayer for you as I end. Lord God, I just thank you for each one that's here this morning. I thank you for this congregation and their faithfulness to you. I thank you, Lord, for how you have worked through them in years past. And as they look forward to the future, I just pray that you will bless them with good and clear vision for how you want them to plug into your mission in this place, this local community, and all the places where the members live. And I just ask, God, that you will pour out your Spirit upon them in new and fresh and powerful ways to stir them up, Lord God, to be effective representatives of you to those around them. Help us all, Lord, as we think about these disciplines this morning, to be challenged by you and to hear where you want to push us and stretch us and help us to grow, to be more effective as we seek to be your witnesses in this world. Bless us, we pray, Lord, as we seek to do your will in all these ways. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.
So much for sharing with us this morning and challenging us. I was blessed by that message. Thank you. In a similar vein, please stand for this benediction. What Jesus tells us in the end of Matthew's gospel, he says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father."